Morning, everyone. If you have your Bibles, why don't you turn to John chapter 13, please, with me. We've been going through the Gospel of John over the last couple of months. This morning we come to John chapter 13. We're looking at the subject of encountering Jesus as servant. And Lord Jesus, we ask this morning for your blessing on your word, your help on your word this morning. You'd help me, Lord, to make your word clear, and you'd move in our hearts, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So it says, now, before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come to depart out of this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. And during supper, when the devil had put into the heart of Judas, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands and that he had come from God and was going back to God, rose from supper. And he laid aside his outer garments and, taking a towel, he tied it around his waist. And then he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with a towel that was wrapped around him. And he came to Simon Peter, who said to him, Lord, do you want to wash my feet? And Jesus answered him, what I'm doing you do not understand now, but afterwards you will understand. And Peter said to him, you shall never wash my feet. And Jesus answered him, if I do not wash you, you have no share with me. And Simon Peter said to him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. And Jesus said to him, the one who has bathed does not need to wash except for his feet, but is completely clean. And you are clean, but not every one of you, for he knew who would betray him. And that is why he said, not all of you are clean. And when he washed their feet and put on his outer garments and resumed his place, he said to them, do you understand what I've done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should do just as I've told you to do. Truly, truly, I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them. I am not speaking to all of you. I know whom I've chosen. But the scripture will be fulfilled. He who ate his bread has lifted his heel against me. I'm telling you this now before it takes place, that when it does take place, you may believe that I'm he. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever receives the one I send receives me, and whoever receives me receives the one who sent me. Amen. This morning, I want us to look at this encounter with Jesus. It's really a collective encounter where he encounters his disciples. They're eating supper. They're eating the Passover meal. And in the middle of the meal, Jesus gets up. He takes a towel like this, and he wraps the towel around his waist. He takes off his outer garment. He takes a basin, pours water in the basin, and he begins to wash the feet of his disciples. It's a very powerful picture. It's a very powerful demonstration of his love and his servanthood. And I want us to look at that this morning. I want us to encounter Jesus as a servant this morning. And may this passage speak to us today. Jesus is about to depart from the world. He's about to go back to the Father. And he's really putting things in order. He's telling his disciples the most important things. And if you go from John 13 to John 17, you'll find that he's talking to them about his departure and the coming of the Holy Spirit and the things he expects from them. He knows his time is short. He knows Judas is about to betray him. Dave preached on that last week about Judas, and he knows Judas is about to betray him, and he also washes Judas's feet. Would you be able to wash the feet of someone who was just about to betray you? I know I would struggle with that. I'd probably put boiling water in the basin or something. I don't know what I would do, but I would struggle with that. And Jesus washes the feet of Judas along with the other disciples. And here it is, friends. It's Thursday evening, and it's less than 24 hours away from the cross. And Jesus knew that in less than 24 hours, he was about to die. And here he is, washing the feet of his disciples. What would you do if you knew by 10 o'clock tomorrow morning you'd be dead? Would you be washing people's feet? Or would you be running around knowing there's not much time left. And here Jesus shows us who he is. As he gets down and he washes their feet with just a few hours left to live. Charles Spurgeon says, Jesus did it because it says in the first verse there, he loved those who were in the world and he loved them to the end. And friends, Jesus does this because he loves us. He does this because he loves his disciples and he chose his disciples. We were chosen and belonged to God. We were elected and chosen by God. Hallelujah. It says he loved those who were his own. He loved those who were in the world. He doesn't just love us when we get to heaven. He loves us in the trenches. He loves you tomorrow when you go to work. He loves us to the very end. His love for us is, we're secure in his love. He's not going to drop us or break covenant with us. And he keeps loving us. He keeps loving us. His faithfulness is stronger than our faith. He perseveres with us because he's called us and chosen us. And so today, friends, as we come to this passage, we really want to encounter Jesus as servant. We want to be gospel-centered in our serving. It's such an important topic in South Africa at the moment. And it'll always be relevant. So let's start just by looking at Jesus. My first point, look at Jesus. Jesus is Lord. He came to serve the Father and give his life as a ransom for many. Matthew chapter 20 verse 26 says, Jesus said, whoever would be great among you must be your servant. And whoever will be first among you must be your slave, even as the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and give his life as a ransom for many. And so Jesus, friends, sets up as a powerful example of humility and servanthood as he washed the feet of the disciples. I remember years ago when we were nearing the end, before the 94, we were nearing the end of the apartheid days, before there was a change in South Africa. We did a lot of foot washing when we were in the Cape. I washed a lot of people's feet and a lot of black people's feet as God was dealing with us as a congregation, and we just washed one another's feet. And it does something to you when you wash someone's feet. And it also does something to you when you have your feet washed. Because there's not much you can do except just sit there and let someone wash your feet. And here Jesus is washing the feet of his disciples. Can you imagine that? Just think about that. We sometimes read it and move on. Imagine if your parents washed your feet. How would you feel? Imagine if your pastor came and washed your feet. Or your boss at work came and washed your feet. Or your husband washed the feet of his wife. Friends, this is very, 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 very powerful stuff. And this task of foot washing was quite common in those days. What they would do is people would walk long distances in sandals, and then they'd come to someone's house, and before they had the meal, Jesus did this in the middle of the meal, but often it was in the beginning of the meal, a non-Jewish slave would get down and wash your feet when you arrived. That's what it was left for slaves. This job was for slaves. And here Jesus gets down and he washes the feet of his disciples. Jesus does it himself. And it's really the final proof of his love for his disciples. He's showing them his love. He's about to leave and he's showing them his love. And friends, what we can learn from this is we have to allow Jesus to also serve us. Salvation is by grace. And grace is humbling. That's why some people don't get grace. They want to perform and do things for God. But our salvation, in essence, is what God does for us, really. We do a bit for him, but actually the big part is done by him. And we have to allow Jesus to also minister to us, and we have to allow him to serve us. And to act as a slave towards us and just to bless us. And that's what he's doing here in this passage. We mustn't be like Peter, who was proud. Said, no, Lord, you can't wash me. We have to open our lives up In our relationship with God, it's actually better to receive than to give. You can never outgive God because He keeps blessing us, doesn't He? Grace has to be received. You receive grace. You receive it without doing anything. When people wash your feet, there's nothing you can do. You can talk to them, but there's not much you can. How many of you had your feet washed in this room? There's not much you can do when you have your feet washed. You just sit there and you might feel a bit awkward. I know when I've had my feet washed, it's wonderful, but you do feel a bit awkward. When I go and get my hair cut in town, this is a confession. They wash your hair before they cut it. And they laugh, the ladies at the hairdresser's place, they laugh at me because I think I've got the record of hair shampooing in that place. Because I don't sit long in the chair because you're supposed to sit there while the lady massages your hair and puts conditioner on, and I struggle with that. So as soon as she put this up, I said, that's great, you can wash it off, and she washes it off, and I'm gone, I'm out of there, because you've got to sit there and just do nothing and let someone else wash your hair. And it's a bit like that with foot washing. You've got to let someone else just minister to you. And here Jesus is ministering to His disciples. And it symbolizes the washing away of sin. It's really, He's saying, I'm washing your feet, but I'm actually about to wash your life. I'm about to go to the cross and wash you clean with my blood. Because friends, we all walk through life and we get dirty and we get careless and we sin and we need ongoing washing. Jesus says we have an initial washing, but then we need to keep washing our feet, and we have an initial salvation, but then we need the blood of Jesus to keep washing us. Martin Luther said, the devil will make sure that you never get to heaven with clean feet. And our feet get dirty and our lives get dirty, and we have to keep coming back to the Lord and say, oh Lord, wash me again and again and again and again. And that's what Jesus is saying here. And that's what He does so powerfully. And so friends, Jesus is clearly Lord. And they called Him. He said, you call me teacher and Lord. They didn't just call Him Jesus. So He's clearly Lord. He's the Lord Almighty. He's the Lord of the universe. Yet He takes the very nature of a servant, because He's motivated by His love for us. Turn with me to Philippians chapter 2. Just this great, it's called the hymn of Christ. It's just such an amazing passage of scripture. Philippians chapter 2. And here Paul is with revelation from the Holy Spirit, is showing us what Christ has done for us. In Philippians chapter 2. Just the first few verses, verse 11 verses, it says, so if there's any encouragement in Christ, any comfort from love, any participation in the Spirit, any affection and sympathy, complete my joy by being of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. Do nothing out of rivalry or pride, but in humility count others more significant than yourself. In humility count other people more important than yourself. Let each one of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who though He was in the form of God, did not consider equality with God a thing to be grasped, but made Himself nothing, taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, He humbled Himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. And therefore God has highly exalted Him and bestowed on Him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. I just want to say a few things from this most incredible passage. The Bible says that although Jesus was God, when it says in the form of God, it means He was God. Although Jesus was God, the Bible tells us that He humbled Himself and He took on flesh. He humbled Himself and took on flesh. He was born into poverty, into a poor family. He didn't choose a cushy life. He didn't choose a high position. He didn't try to exploit His position as God. He gave up His rights and made Himself nothing. Because He did it for the Father, and He did it because of His love for us. The Bible says he emptied himself. He made himself nothing. And that doesn't mean that he stopped being God or laid aside his divinity. But it means that he emptied himself by adding humanity. And he came into this world as a servant, as a man. Hallelujah. I've told you the illustration before. It's not that Jesus emptied himself. Some people think when he was on earth, he wasn't really divine. He wasn't God. No, he was fully God and fully man. But you couldn't see it because when you looked at Jesus, he looked like a real man. And he was a real man. And his glory was veiled. And people didn't always see who he was because of that. The Pharisees said, you're not 50 years old yet and you call yourself Abraham's son. Maybe he looked older than he really was. And even John the Baptist, when he came to be baptized by John the Baptist was told, the one you see the Holy Spirit come on, he's the one. So Jesus could have been sitting in a crowd like this. We wouldn't have known he was Jesus. He wasn't glowing. He was a real man. And the Bible says he emptied himself by adding humanity. It's like buying a car. When you go and buy a car from Lee Chetty or a car dealer, and there's a nice shiny car, and you say, well, I'd like to take it for a test drive. You jump in a new car and you take it for a test drive, but it's been raining and there's lots of mud on the road and you drive through some of the mud puddles. And when you come back with your nice shiny car, it's full of mud. And the car dealer says, what have you done to my car? And you say, I've done nothing to your car. I've only added something to your car. I've taken nothing away. I've just added the mud. You can't see the shine anymore. It's under the mud, but I've taken something away, as it were, by adding something. And that's what Jesus did. He covered himself with humanity. He covered himself with our human nature, without sin. He took on the inner attitude and nature of a servant. That's what Jesus did. He came from glory and he took on the nature of a servant. So the Bible says in Philippians, he came from glory and he emptied himself. So he took on flesh, came from glory, he took on flesh. He was obedient to the Father, obedient unto death, even death on a cross. Even death upon a cross. That's what Jesus did. He came from glory. He was obedient unto death. Even death on a cross. Friends, it's the ultimate opposite. You can't get two greater opposites than where Jesus came from and where he died upon the cross. And no other death could match the cross. The absolute destruction of a person, the shame and the pain. He died naked upon the cross. He hung there naked. Remember, they took his outer garments and they threw dice for his outer garments. And he hung there and his mother was in front of him on the cross and he said, Mother, behold your son. Behold your son. This is your son, naked on a cross. Friends, that's what Jesus did for us. See, true humility will always lead to your death. Death to self. And Jesus, the Bible says he learned obedience through the things that he suffered. He'd never had to embrace this kind of obedience before in his relationship with the Father. He never had to go through these things when he was in heaven, as it were. But it came through suffering and lining up with the Father's will and taking on the very nature of a servant. The Bible says that was his inner attitude. It wasn't just outwardly looked like a servant, but in his heart, in his attitude, in his character, in the way he dealt with people, he was humble. And he came to serve. And to bless others and to die for others. That was his inner attitude. This is our Jesus. This is who he is. And friends, that needs to profoundly affect us. Our own attitudes and the way we deal with people and just what God's doing in our lives. As we look at Jesus. And we see what he's done for us. And what he's been through for us. Hallelujah. But secondly, let's look at ourselves then. As I've said already, imagine how the disciples felt when they when they washed his feet. And we need a similar encounter with God. We need to see God like this. Because God's been speaking to us for some time about loving one another and serving one another. It's so powerful. I just want to say a few things about serving. And so many folk do serve in this church, and I just want to thank you so much for the way you serve and give yourselves to God. But just a few points about serving in general. Because Jesus said here, I've left you an example that you also do this. So he's showing us something that he wants us to do. The first thing is, when you serve someone, you actually honor them. You're actually honoring them when you're serving them. To serve others properly, you have to be clear on your own identity. If you're an insecure person, you can't really serve other people. And that's why the Bible says Jesus knew who he was and where he was going to, and that's when he picked up the towel. A true servant is clear on their own identity. You know you're not a slave, you're a son. You know God loves you. You know you've been adopted. Hallelujah. Because serving has nothing to do with your value as a person. Your identity is not in question. It doesn't reduce you. It's actually a step to greatness. Serving's not a step to greatness. It is greatness. Hallelujah. And you've got to be pretty secure to serve people. Really serve people. And often when we serve, it's more what it does for us than what it does for others. Isn't it so? And so serving is actually a manifestation of my relationship with God. It involves my choices, my obedience, just as it did with Jesus. We need to also serve with the gifts that God has given us. We've been given many gifts, and it's so good. It's actually great to serve with the gifts that God has given us. It says that in 1 Peter. Serve with the gifts that God has given you. We've been, as we come to the end of this year, we've been serving this congregation for 19 years now. With the gifts that God has given us, serving you. And it's been a joy to do that. It's been tough at times, but it's been a joy as we've served one another with the gifts that God has given us. And friends, this topic is very relevant in South Africa today. I want to close with this. It's so relevant in South Africa today. We live in a country where some people still feel too important to serve others. Jesus didn't feel too important to serve his disciples. We have others who feel, well, under apartheid, I was always the servant. Now things must change. It's time I got served. And you find situations where everybody wants to be someone's boss these days. But Jesus challenges the prevailing culture in South Africa, and he says, no, those who've always been served must learn to serve. How are you at that? How are you at serving? Are you a good servant? And those who have always served must keep serving. So those that have been served, you need to start serving. And those that have always served, well, carry on serving with a good heart. Hallelujah. And sometimes we serve people by doing things for them and washing their feet and blessing them. But other times we serve people by offering leadership and sometimes even rebuking people and saying, no, we can't do that. And having boundaries and helping folk as well. Jesus was meek, but he wasn't weak. But friends, we can't say it's all right for Jesus to serve, but not for me. And so as I close this morning, I ask, how are you at serving? Husbands, do you ever serve your wives? That's very countercultural in Africa. Is that right? Guys, close your eyes. Ladies, just nod quickly. It's very countercultural in Africa. Husbands, do you serve your wives? Sometimes parents, do you serve your children? Wonderful. I know when they're small we do that. Men, do you sometimes serve the woman? Older folk, do you sometimes serve younger people? Or do you wait for them to serve you? One of the things I've enjoyed the most in this church, let me tell you a secret, is to watch the way we've broken down some of these traditional cultures where young men are friends with older men. I find that so exciting. And we've done something in this church that's actually fantastic, because in traditional African culture, you don't talk to an older person sometimes until they talk to you. And we've broken down some of these traditional values. And it's just wonderful. When last, as a boss, have you served your staff? I'm not saying you've got to wash their feet. They might think you've lost your mind. But when last have you served your staff? When last have you just blessed your staff and say, yeah, how are you doing? I want to bless you. I want to look after you and find out how you're doing. This stuff is very countercultural today, but it's just so great. And so I just want to thank those in this church that do serve so faithfully. You're giving, you're serving. It's not easy. In some ways, church leadership is the hardest form of leadership because everyone's a volunteer. You have to mobilize volunteers all the time. But friends, this is the Jesus form of leadership. It's not hierarchical, and it's not just serving the guy at the top, but we're looking for servant leadership, where we're looking for character more than position and more than just authority. Masada told me a great story last week on our way to Newcastle. He said in some African churches, and I actually like the story, I want to try and bring this tradition in, but he said in some African churches, he said, if you want to buy a new car in the congregation, you can't buy a new car unless you bought the pastor a new car. Is that right? He says, so if you want to buy a Mercedes, you feel a bit awkward because the pastor, so you have to first club together, get him one, and then you can get one. Well, friends, that's not been our kind of leadership. That's not been our kind of leadership, although it's nice to receive as well. But we're looking for the Jesus kind of leadership that comes from an encounter with Jesus. And Jesus said to us as I close. And please hear this as a word today. It really is a challenge to us. Jesus said, in John chapter 13, he said, for I have given you an example that you should also do just as I have done to you. Hallelujah. And it comes from an encounter with Jesus. It comes from being clear on my identity. A great servant is someone who's settled their identity. They're not all insecure. They're not all aware of their position. I'm the assistant general secretary. Who cares? I'm the vice president. Who cares? Start serving. Start loving others. Let's do what Jesus did. Let's overturn these values that sometimes are cultural, sometimes traditional, sometimes they're just silly. Let's start loving one another. That comes from an encounter with Jesus. Let's remember this, folk, as we continue to grow as a congregation and we serve one another. In many ways, we've moved beyond race in this congregation. I think we've moved beyond racial categories in this congregation. And I think what lies ahead for us is just a deeper and deeper love for one another. When a young Zulu man says, I want to thank Baba Nigel Nkulu for letting me stay at his place when I come down here, we've broken through things. We've broken through as a congregation. We've broken through beyond categories and cultural traditions. We're becoming the people Jesus died for. Hallelujah. And that excites me so much. Hallelujah. And that gives us a message for the world out there. Jesus said, by your love for one another, will all men know that you are my disciples. He says, I've washed your feet, and now I've left you an example that you should serve others. And so as I close, I want to encourage you today. Maybe it's an area you struggle in. Maybe you don't think about it. But think about your life. Think about the people God has placed in your life, your relationships, and ask God to give you more and more a servant heart. It's not going to reduce you. It's not going to embarrass you. It's actually going to make you great in the eyes of God, and it's going to bless others as well as you honor them. Let's pray together.